Welcome to the International Community Church Podcast. For more information about International Community Church, visit us on the web at www.icchurch.us. Okay, I'm on there. All right, so we are going to do a series the next 2 weeks, and it's called Refined. Maybe we can dim some of those lights there, yeah. I started thinking about this word, refined. It kind of just got in my system, you know. And to be honest with you, it's not an easy topic to talk about. I kind of struggled as I've looked into this message today a little bit. But basically, refined, to start off with, you know, you look up the word refined, it means this basically, to be developed. To be developed. Or to be purified by going through a process. Who knows that as Christians, as Christ followers, who knows that we're still being developed? Do you know that? Who knows we're still under construction? I am, for one. You better wear a hard hat when you get round me, because there's a lot of construction going on. Who knows that not one of us, even as Christians, have not made it yet? Hello? And you know what? The good news is, for every one of us Christ followers, God ain't finished with you yet, either. You see, here's the deal. When we commit to being a follower of Jesus, we actually commit to enter into a process of development. We enter into the process of being refined. When you give your life to Jesus and say, okay, God, I'm here. I'll follow you. I'll put my trust and my faith in you. You know what you're doing? You're actually entering the master craftsman's tool shop. You realize that? And you're laying your life down on the workbench and you're saying, okay, God, mold me, shape me, have your way. And the truth is this, if you don't realize that, or you've never got to that stage, maybe just you've not really understood what being a Christ follower really is, right? But we're all under development. We all have to learn. I remember when I grew up in England, one of the first jobs I had, I was like 13. I worked on a milk round. You're probably thinking, what on earth is a milk round? We don't do those crazy things here. Well, in England, we are really lazy, and we like to get our milk delivered to the doorstep. It's just way too hard to go to the store to get your bottle of milk, right? We have them in glass bottles as well. And we have, I'll see if this works here. I think so. There we go. We have, can you see that? We have milk floats, these little buggy things, right, that zip around about 20 miles per hour. And on the back, maybe we could dim those lights a bit, Jimmy, so we can see the screen a little bit better. On the back, there's all these crates, right, with glass bottles of milk in. And I was like 13. It was one of my first jobs, and my friend worked on this milk round. It was pretty good money. Pretty good money. And he said, Mark, would you like a job? So I'm like, okay. He goes, here's the good news. The good news is it's good money, but the bad news is you've got to be up at 3:30 a.m. I was a teen. I was just putting the video games down at 3 a.m. I was not used to getting up at that time. I thought that was like called DCFS. This is illegal, making children get up, but not in England, apparently. So anyway, I remember the first day I got up, and I was a little bit nervous, and I went, it was pitch black outside. I went on my first job as being a milk boy on the milk round, okay? And what me and my friend did at the back of the truck, you can see the metal bars that go down, there's like a little platform you stand on at the back, and you hang on as this thing's zipping around, and you have a crate of milk in the next hand, and the driver, the milkman, was called Tommy, and he'd yell out, okay, number 52 wants 2 pints, number 60 wants 3, and you had to remember this, and he'd say, right, go, and then you had to jump off, right, you had to jump off the back of this platform with this crate, Yeah, I'm sure this would be illegal today, but that was slave labor back then. And I remember jumping off for the first time, and nobody had properly taught me anything. This thing's going like 15, 20 miles an hour. I jumped off and just went, boom! Smack, because the thing's got momentum, right? You following me? Glass bottles are going everywhere. Glass is flying. Milk's flying. Tommy pulls up. Goes, Mark, we got some work to do on you, buddy. There's milk everywhere. Goes, don't you realize, dude, that this thing's going 20 miles an hour? And he says, you got to jump off and go backwards. You got to think Michael Jackson moonwalk. That's what he said to me. So I tried again. He's zipping along. It was my turn to jump off. And when you're not used to it, you jump off. The second time I jumped off and I moved my legs, but not fast enough. I ended up going through somebody's front yard, trying to regain my balance and into a bush, right? I mean, I'm just really glad it was dark at night, because people would have been videoing me and it would have been going viral. I just looked like a complete idiot. But took a long time to get that job down. But eventually I figured out that you had to spring off backwards and almost run backwards because the thing is going forwards. Took me a while to get used to that, but he developed me. And I finally got that job down. But in a way, we're all being developed, and sometimes it could be painful. Who knows that life is painful? And even as we grow and mature as Christians, it's not always easy, is it? If you got your Bibles, if you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to look at these words from Peter to the Christians, and it's relevant for us today here in Frankfort, Illinois. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, we're going to start at. Peter says these words, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we've been born again, because God raised Jesus from the dead. Now we live with great expectation. We have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay." Isn't that wonderful? We have an inheritance waiting for us as Christians one day in heaven. Verse 5, it says, "Through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you reach the salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see." Now here we go. This is what I'm going to center on this morning, verse 6 and 7, right? Kind of hover your finger around 6 and 7. It says these words, "So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Through your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." You know, sometimes we get this illusion, or there is an illusion out there, that to be a strong Christian means that we never grieve, or we never get upset, or we never face difficulties, or never go through trials. We never have bad days. I'm sorry, that's a load of rubbish. There's like this idea that to be a strong Christian, you've got to be like Superman. Chest out. Big S. And as bullets fly at you, they just bounce off your chest, right? "I am Mr. Holy Man. Nothing knocks me down. Fire at me, devil. I can stand it." Boom, with each peck. Right? Wrong. Even Peter here is saying, church, we have to endure hardships. You know that word endure? It's not an easy word, is it? You almost have to endure saying the word endure, because it sends a cringe down my spine. When I ran the marathon the other year, I knew what enduring was, and it was not easy. But he says we have to endure trials. He's telling us, and hardships. Enduring is not easy, it's not fun, it can often be painful. But here's the thing, we have a hope. Peter's saying, we have a hope during these tough times. You know, one thing I know about God is this, is that God has a way of bringing good out of bad situations. Yeah? Don't ask me how, he's God. He just does it. I also know that God can help us turn our problems into his possibilities. God can turn our struggles into His solutions, our obstacles into His opportunities. But you know what? Through all of this, He's often wanted to refine us. He's wanted to develop and purify us. And it's not easy. You know, like I said at the beginning, I got into working on this week, and I've struggled with this message. I'll be honest, some of the songs we sing, even the one this morning, I was like, what does that mean? Have you ever asked that when we sing songs? What does that mean? We sing these songs like in verse 2 of the desert song this morning. This is my prayer in the fire, in weakness or trial or pain, and we're often like this. And sometimes we don't know what the words mean, right? This is hardcore stuff. This is my prayer in the fire, in weakness or trial or pain. There is a faith proved of more worth than gold. So go on, Lord, refine me through the flame. Right? There's a song we used to sing, an old one. Some of you may know it, Refine as Fire. Who knows that song? Purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. Refine as fire, my heart's one desire. Refine as fire, what's all that about? These are the questions I've been asking myself. And to kind of answer that question, we need to jump to Malachi. If you've got your Bibles, jump with me back into the Old Testament. Towards the end of the OT, okay? The back end of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3, verse 2. It's what the words say here from the writer. He says, when Jesus comes, he's talking about when Jesus returns to earth again. He says, who will be able to stand and face him when he appears? For Jesus will be like a blazing fire that refines metal, and he'll also be like a strong soap that bleaches clothes. Verse 3, this is important if you can figure on this one. He says, Jesus will sit like a refiner of silver, burning away the dross. He will purify the Levites, refining them like gold and silver, so that they may once again offer acceptable sacrifices to the Lord. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. You know, there's an old story of a lady in Ireland years ago. And this lady, she went down to watch the local silversmith do his work. And she watched him as he held a piece of silver over the fire and he let it heat up. And he explained to her that in refining silver, that you needed to hold the silver in the middle of the fire where the flames would be the hottest to burn away any of the impurities. The woman thought about God at that time, holding us sometimes in a spot that seems hot in life. Then she thought again about the verse in the Bible that God sits as a refiner and a purifier of silver. So this lady said to the silversmith, she asked him if it was true that he had to sit there in front of the fire the whole time the silver was being refined. The man said yes. He not only had to sit there holding the silver, but he had to keep his eye on the silver the whole time it was in the fire. If the silver was left even a moment too long in the flames, it would be destroyed. The woman was silent for a moment, then she asked the man this question. So, how do you know when the silver is fully refined, when it's finished, when it's done? The man smiled at her and he answered, oh, that's so easy. It's finished and it's done, it's refined, when I can see my image in it. When I could see my image in it. In both the Old and New Testaments, right, there are numerous references to the refining of gold and silver. And it's used as God as a parallel of God refining us through our trials in life. You know, this image is meant to help us understand and give us purpose behind pain. I don't like going through pain. Anybody here enjoy it? I don't enjoy it, I have to endure it. But I tell you what, it makes it a bit easier, a lot easier, when I know there's a purpose through it. There's purpose behind our pain, and that is to conform us to the character of Christ. And we don't get it straight away. You know, Psalm 66 verse 10 says this. David says, for you, God, you tested us and you refined us like silver. You refined us like silver. I want to get one thing clear, though, before we carry on. This is a part I kind of struggle with a bit. I want to make it absolutely clear. Just because bad stuff happens in our life doesn't mean it's from God. He is a good, good father, right? You know, we could sometimes think the Bible says God's testing us, God's doing this. There are many reasons why terrible things happen to us. There are so many reasons. It would take me a year to try and explain. I wouldn't be able to explain. But I know this, when bad stuff happens, it could be a whole different bunch of reasons. Number one, we live in a sinful world, first of all, right? Where injustice seems to reign at the moment. Where innocent people get hurt. We also have consequences. Sometimes we bring stuff on ourselves, if we're honest. Sometimes we don't learn. Sometimes we don't learn from experience. Sometimes we just flat out, rebelliously, do the wrong thing and pay the consequences. You make your bed, you lie in it, right? Sometimes the enemy just comes as seasons of difficulty and oppression and attacks from the enemy that comes into our lives. I don't know the whole answers to these things. But what I'm saying is this. Is that God is not up there just throwing bad stuff on us. Just to test us or to see if we still love him. But God does test us in this way. When we go through bad stuff. When we go through the flames and the fires of life, God does test to see how our hearts react. You hear me? Because God is always watching us, and God is always sat there waiting, and he's always saying, child, I see your tears, I see your pain, I see the injustice. One day it will be made right. But right now I'm here with you, I'm bottling your tears, and I want to bring good out of this bad. Let me give you an example, Joseph. Look at Joseph, right? Joseph was refined. His faith was tested. You know, God didn't cause his brothers to do all those evil things to Joseph. They had free will. They decided to do it. But God was watching Joseph to see how he reacted. God was testing his heart to see if it still adhered and abided with God in faith through all the difficult things. Do you follow me? Through the struggles and testing times, God used a refining process to bring Joseph out of the flame stronger in faith than when he went in it. And so it is with us. Through testings and trials and struggles, we face God is always watching and waiting, and he's there to refine us if we allow him. You know, there's an old preacher, writer, author, A.W. Tozer, really powerful book he wrote. And in there's a chapter called The Refiner's Fire. I'm just going to read a few words. It's very good. Tozer says this about the refiner's fire. He says, 10,000 enemies cannot stop a Christian who has a complete attitude of trust in God. 10,000 enemies cannot slow a Christian down who has a complete attitude of trust in God. Those 10,000 enemies to the Christian will become to him like the atmosphere that resists the aeroplane, but which, because the plane's designer knew how to take advantage of that airflow of resistance, it actually lifts a plane aloft and it holds it there for a journey of thousands of miles. You picture this image? What would have been an enemy to the plane becomes a helpful servant to aid the plane on its way. The main thing is this, Tozer said, we should never blame anyone or anything for our defeats, no matter how evil their intentions are. They are altogether unable to harm us until we begin to blame them and use them as an excuse for our unbelief. Then they become potent to do us injury. Remember, Tozer said, that always the greatest Christians have come out of the hardest times and the toughest of circumstances. Tribulations have worked for the spiritual perfection, just like the wind lifts the bird or the aeroplane. Isn't that true? The true Christian who remains abiding in Christ, complete trust. People will oppose, people will attack, things will come, circumstances will come. But somehow God turns it around and we rise above, you know. I love going out in the wilderness and I see high birds flying, a hawk or something. I'm just in awe. And you know what? To the people that get persecuted, the winds of resistance come against the Christians, the ones that learn to soar, other people look at you. Other people look up and go, wow. Wow. That person stood the test of the trial. That person has been refined. Isn't that amazing? You know, the Bible keeps talking about refining. And so maybe I'll quickly go through the process of what happens when refiner's fire happens. Number one, the refiner breaks up the natural ore. It says this, in biblical times, a refiner began by breaking up rough ore, hardened rock. He'd start with a piece of rock, just any old rock, encased with common minerals like tin, copper and zinc. But that rock had the promise of something valuable inside of it. It had rare metals hidden within. There could well be precious metals of gold and silver hiding in that rock. The breaking of the rock was necessary to begin the refining process to expose valuable metals to heat. Jeremiah 23:29 says these words. God says, is not my word like a fire, declares the Lord? Is not my word like a hammer that breaks a rock to pieces? The next stage of the refining fire, the refiner then places the unrefined silver into something called a crucible. He puts the broken, crushed ore of the rock into a crucible, which is like this big, fireproof melting pot, able to withstand extreme heat. Then the refiner places the crucible into the hot furnace at the right temperature to remove other metals that would distort the quality of the gold or silver. Just as the furnace is used to purify silver in the crucible, God uses heat sometimes to purify our hearts and cleanse our character. Proverbs 17 says this, the crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. Even through the difficult trials, God is always wanting to improve us. The next stage of the refiner's fire, the refiner places a crucible in the heated furnace to remove the dross. The dross is a layer of scum, basically, impurities that have come from this rock. It's called dross, and it floats to the top in this crucible. And what he does is then he just keeps scooping all the impurities off, throwing them out, and keeps heating up what's in that pot to remove any more impurities to get to the good stuff, the gold and the pure silver. Bible says, Proverbs 25 verse 4, says, remove the dross from the silver and a silversmith can produce a vessel. You know, sometimes as Christians we're like, God, use me. I want to be a vessel for you. I want to be used. I want to be a tool in your hands. And God's like, yep, okay. Maybe there's a bit of dross needs scooping off. Don't know about you, but I've got dross. And I know God keeps scooping it off of me because he wants to make me into that fine vessel and you too. So what happens next? He just keeps doing this. He keeps heating it up. It's like a process that keeps repeating and repeating. Job 23 verse 10 says this. He says, God knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. I will come forth as gold. And then the final process, the refiner finally sees a clear image of himself in that metal. Only when the refiner looks into the crucible and sees a clear reflection of himself is it complete. Finally, the silver attains its highest degree of purity, and that, friends, describes God's loving intentions for us. You see, as we trust him, as we trust God to use our trials to cleanse our character and purify our hearts, we'll begin to see the silver lining. Isaiah 48 verse 10 says this. He says, see, I have refined you, the Lord said. Though not as silver, I have tested you in the furnace. But how do we hang on to the hope in the midst of our trials when the heat's turned up? We persevere by keep pressing into the heart of the one who will bring us through it. I know that God is working on me and he's still got a long way to go. I know when I went through my divorce process and even when the children got moved to California, It's been tough, and I know you've gone through tough times, and you've had tough times. But I distinctly remember there was times when I remember going through the ugliness of divorce and having to go to court, and I went for the right reasons to fight for what I thought was justice, to stop the children from being moved to California. You know, these are good reasons in my mind. They were reasonable and needed to be done for the sake of my children, not just myself. But I definitely remember it was definitely like being in a furnace. And you can relate, I'm sure, with different situations in your life. Even as I speak, you may feel the temperature of that flame right now as you're thinking of stuff that's milling around in your head that's happened this week. But I know I was going through a heating process and it was like, God, where are you? Why is this happening? What is going on? Enough already, please, right? I'm just being honest, yeah? But I know there was times in that process that I had to check my heart. I know there was definitely times where I was fighting for what I felt was justice and was right, but because things were going against me and it seemed I wasn't winning anything in court, you know what? I started to get bitter. I started to get angry. I started to push the pedal a bit on the gas, okay, to keep pursuing this thing more out of anger and resentment, if I'm honest. And it was at those times God clearly spoke to me and he said, whoa, Mark, I'm watching how you handle all this during this process. And I felt I had to just release some of that anger, release some of that resentment. And it was like he got the scoop and he got the dross and he flicked it away. Now, you know what? I still feel that sometimes. Even recently, this week, I've not been happy about some things that are going on in California at the moment with my children. I'm getting angry, I'm getting frustrated, and I still feel the call of God, the Spirit of God say, whoa, let me refine you. It's not pretty what you're going through, Mark, but I'm here for you, buddy. Let me refine you. Give it to me, give it to me. Do you see what I'm saying this morning? The dross is in our lives. We go through the fire anyway. If you're a Christian or not a Christian, bad stuff's happening all the time, right? Life is a roller coaster. It's good and bad. It's happy, it's sad. It's just is what it is. But God's there and he's saying, come on. You want to be a follower of me? I'm going to test your heart now because you're going through this and you'll go through it anyway. But let me go through it with you. Let me refine you. Let me get that dross. Let me get that wrong attitude. Let me get that anger, that resentment, that bitterness. Let me scoop it off because I'm going to bring you out of this shining. Do you follow what I'm saying? Do you see what he's trying to do in us and through us? You know, the Bible says God uses a refining fire. It doesn't say he uses an incinerating fire. Or a forest fire. An incinerating fire and a forest fire just consumes and destroys. But a refining fire has a purpose, yeah? A refining fire is for your good. A refining fire will upgrade you. A refining fire will scoop away what needs to be scooped away so you come out. What doesn't kill me makes me stronger, right? And he's a good, good father who walks through us. He sticks by us. Heard a story, it's an old story of before email was around and texting and all that. You know, it was a guy who wrote this love letter to this girl he loved. They'd been dating for a few weeks and he wrote this long love letter. And it was like, oh my gosh, it makes you want to puke. It was just really cheesy. It was like, oh my beloved, I love you so much. I would scale the highest mountain. I would swim to the depths of the ocean. And you're reading this thing and you're like, you know, I would walk over hot blazing coals. I would crawl on my hands and knees through a burning desert. I would swim through avalanches or just weird stuff like that. And then at the end of the letter he says, oh my love, I cannot wait to see you again. And then at the end, he signs it off and he leaves these words, P.S. I'll see you Friday night as long as it's not raining. just words, right? Actions. But God is an action God. Amen? He's a good father. What he says he does. And he walks through the fire with us. Isaiah 43 verse 2 says this. It says, when you pass, not if, but when, it's going to happen. When we pass through the waters, God says, I'll be with you. No PS at the end of that one. If it's raining, I may check out. No. PS, I will be with you. Then he says, when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. You see, the great refiner sticks with us through thick and thin. In fact, I love this as I finish this morning. Verse 3. I love these three words. These three words have gripped me. It says, he will sit. You say, well, what is the big deal about that? That's awesome. That tells me so much about God. It's like God's working on my life, and there really is a huge construction job still to be done. But God's working on my life, and he comes to me, he goes, hey, Mark, I'm putting you through the refiner's fire. Hey, buddy, it's going to be okay. I'm pulling up the stool. I'm sitting down. I'm glad that didn't collapse then. That would have been bad. And he pulls up the stool. And he's with me. His hand's there as I'm going through the flames. As I'm going through heartbreak. As I'm going through. I'm with you too as you go through yours. He's pulling up the stool and he's sitting down. I love that. He sits down. Why? Because he's not a quick hammer, hammer. Next. Have you ever been in one of those restaurants? I'm not going to tell you what kind of restaurant, but you'll know what I mean. But you're in a line for food, and it's just pure business, you know. Okay, $5.99, next, you know, and you come in. I like to go in a restaurant where people want to talk to you, right? God isn't one of those kind of people. He sits down, he says, I ain't finished with you yet. We're in this for the long haul, kiddo. I know, I'm here. I'm bottling your tears. It's not nice what you're going through, daughter, son. But I'm here with you and I will refine you if you'll let me. I'm pulling up a chair. I got all the time in the world because I made time in the first place. Here we go. Scoop, scoop. Give me that attitude. Fling, fling. Give me that heartbreak. Give me that resentment. Give me that vengeance. I'll take care of that in my own way. Scoop. Scoop. Let's get rid of some of that scum. Fling. Boy, you look good. Look at that nice shiny gold starting to come through in your life right now. I'm sitting here. Yeah, I could be doing other things, but I'm choosing, son and daughter, to keep working on you. He's a God who sits down and puts pure craftsmanship into us. Isn't that awesome? Yeah? He will sit. He will sit down and work on you. Why? Because he sees great value in you. He will sit and work on you because he sees the junk that just needs to be scooped away to reveal that gold. He will sit and keep working on you to skim away those bad attitudes, those failures, those wrong ways of thinking, those mistakes from the past you can't shake off, the sin that keeps arising, the habits that keep forming. And God sat down and he said, it's okay. I got all the time in the world. From the minute you came into this world and your heart started beating till you pass into eternity, I'm going to refine you if you'll let me. What a wonderful God. So the question is this. As you go through the trials, as you go through the pains, are you going to let him refine you? Are you going to say, God, here I am. I really want to be your vessel. It's not wrong to say, God, ouch, the flame hurts, get me out of this. And that's a good prayer to say too. But God, as I'm going through this, as you're redeeming me, as you're getting me out of this, refine me. May I be a bird that soars. The more people that resist me, the more the enemy throws at me, may I just spread my wings and fly, man. God will never give up if we never let go. Yeah? Let's pray. Father, I just thank you this morning. I thank you that you want to refine us all, God. Life is not easy. There are trials and pains, but God, there is joy that can be found on this journey. There is hope amongst all the hazards of life, God. There's a purpose through the pain, God. We may not always see it, we may not always understand it, but God, we trust in you. Sometimes in my own life, it seems like there's more questions than answers. But God, I never let go. I want to keep holding on to your hand. Keep refining me. I want people to see you in me. Keep working on us, Lord, till that image of you shines forth so bright that people can tell that we've been refined. So we ask this in your name, and everybody said, Amen.